Our scripture reading this morning is James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. James talks about faith and works. Our title is Real Faith That Works. And faith and works go together. You need both. We must have faith. But our faith is proven by our works, what we do for the Lord. So if we have faith, we're going to follow through and put it into action of what we know, working out our salvation day by day. Not to be saved, but working out our salvation, showing that God, that we love God, and He's called us to be servants. So, James began with verse 14. Which says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you say to them, 'Go in peace, be warned, and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder or tremble. But are you willing to recognize your foolish folly, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works, which he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. It was completed. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see, that man is justified by works, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by the works when she received messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." It seems if you put the word real, you hear or you see a lot of things that has real in front of it, it means it's the real deal, right? It's the real thing. In front of any sales item or anything like that, like real coffee or real leather, you can get regular coffee, you can get decaf, but regular coffee is the real coffee, right? And we're interested in the genuine article. The real TV. There's a book, Real Men Don't Eat Quench Coke. Used to be, use the phrase, it's the real thing. So I want to share this morning and talk to you about James has to say about real faith. Paul talks about faith and works. And James talks about it in a different way, but they both arrive at the same conclusion. And there are a lot of phony religions out there. People who think they are Christians and really not. And James is kind of making it clear, you have faith, but your works is going to prove if you're really a Christian. And he talks about how you can have the real faith. And Jesus verifies this by saying that a person's fruit, they will be known by their fruit. And James is talking about the Christian's lifestyle. Actually, he's talking about the acts of love also. And he shows us what should happen after we receive the fruit of the Spirit. And we receive the fruit of the Spirit through the fruit of salvation that Christ offers each one of us. And Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. And James is talking about how to show that you are a Christian by your faith and works. So how do I prove that I am a believer? And that's what James is dealing with here this morning. James says that you can know that you've got the real thing. He gives us three principles, at least three principles. I probably could dig a little bit deeper and find a couple more. But I'm going to share at least three with you this morning in this passage. And the first one is, real faith is not just something that you feel. If it feels good or something even that you say. So it's more than emotions. A lot of people confuse emotions and feelings with their faith. If they get all excited and everything, they have faith. If they get all excited and emotional, they have faith. But when that faith is put to test, what happens to emotions? Sometimes it dwindles or it wavers. But our works will prove where our faith is. If we're tested, we become even more stronger in our belief. So you can be emotionally moved and never act on it. You can get so emotionally involved in something and say, that is great, and just sit back and do nothing. And wait for someone else to do it. So, in verses 15 and 16, James says again, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, or if one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what good is that? This reminds me of a Peanut cartoon. It's Charlie Brown and Linus are inside, and it's on a real, real cold day. And as they look out, Snoopy is out there shivering and shaking. And as they look down, his bowl is empty. So they look at one another and they say, you know, we ought to do something about this. He's out there, we're inside where it's warm. He's out there, it's cold, he has no food. So they walk inside. I walk outside and they look at Snoopy and they said, hey, Snoopy, be of good cheer. Now, that's exactly what James is talking about. If we're not willing to fulfill or go into action and do something for someone like that, Snoopy or whoever that might be, that has a particular need, and still saying, you know, be of good courage. Oh, I'm praying for you. It'll get better. This will pass. We're not fulfilling faith and works together. When I was another thing I happened to think about, if after church, you know, you could go out to your car and accidentally shut your fingers in the door, shut the door on your fingers, and you're sitting there bleeding and your hand all swollen, and I should come up and say, I really feel sorry for you. Does that do you any good? Not at all. And when I was a little boy, I remember an incident like that happened. We lived in McMinnville, and we went to Chattanooga. My dad had an appointment over there. We was in one of these parking garages. My mother got out, and she shut the door and happened to have it the wrong place, and it shut on her fingers. Of course, her finger was bleeding. It was starting to swell and everything. And there was a couple parked over, a couple cars over, and they saw the commotion and the moaning and the groaning. My mother, she'd pass out, and then she'd come to, she'd pass out. She did this about three or four times, and I was small, but I was trying to do what I could. My dad was holding my mother, trying to keep her from falling down. And this couple comes over and says, "May we help you? We see that something has happened." My dad said, "Well, my wife has shut her fingers in the door." And they said, "Let us help." So they said, "Let's put her in our car and we'll take you to the hospital. It's just a couple blocks from here." And exactly what they did. Put my mother in the car, drove her to the hospital, got her checked out. Of course, it wasn't broken, but they bruised and bleeding and everything like that. And we got to talking to these people, and they told us where they went to church and so forth, and they were Christians, and they felt like that they needed to do something. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. You know, we know about a situation. We know about something. We know we need to do something for the Lord or someone else. So where is our faith? It wasn't just, "Well, I feel sorry for you," or "be of good cheer." Actually put your faith into works. You get assistance. You do something about it. You act on it. Real faith takes the initiative. That's what James is saying. A real believer has real faith, and it's practical. It's obvious. It gets involved with people. It's talking about Christians here. And by the way, in verse 15, this scripture here, Christian women, this is the only place it's called, women are called sisters. How about that? Brothers and sisters. And when you become a part of the family of God, see, you have some family connections. You have some family responsibilities. And a real believer will care about other believers. Now, I want to take this a little bit, a step further. Do you make a point to have fellowship with other believers? And maybe just not those that you know and that you maybe see regularly, but those that maybe you come into contact with or you know, and you make a point to fellowship with them. And not only believers, but non-believers, are those that you know maybe needs a church home, someone that needs to have a personal relationship with the Lord. So sometimes you establish a relationship with someone else to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may have a personal relationship with Him. See, real faith wants to be around other believers. You love them. It's known. We are Christians by our love. We are known as Christians by our love. And a good way to demonstrate that is tomorrow night and this week as we have Vacation Bible School and as we have spaghetti stuff. And it's camp next week we'll be starting. Getting involved, putting your faith into works, applying that to others who maybe like children or teenagers who needs an adult as a mentor. Well, real faith is not just something you think. For some people, faith is an intellectual trip. You think about it, but you don't act upon it. A matter of to be studied or debated, talked over, and discussed. James imagined an intellectual evaluation here in verse 18. I'll go back and read that verse, where he says, "But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" So I want you to imagine what James is thinking about. He's considering right here. James is imagining some intellectual person who says, "You're into my faith, I'm into your works." And he might say to that person, "Well, that's cool. That's cool." And then he might look to that person and he said, "Let's debate that now. I believe James was a debater. Paul as well. You got your thing, I've got my thing. Stimulate me mentally, but don't ask me to make any commitment. That's what this person would be saying to James. James would say, show me your faith for that deed, and I will show you my faith by what I do. James says, show me. That's what he's saying to you and me. Show me your faith. Show me how you put it into action. So, if you and I claim to be a Christian, people will be able to see it. You know why? It will be visible. How many of you ever like visible things? You'd rather see it with your own eyes rather than just to hear it. Yes, it's visible. Well, 1,000 words worth of picture, isn't it? So, James would have made a good Missourian. The theme of the state of Missouri is to show me, isn't it? And that's what James is saying, show me your faith. And I'm sure that James, he had to deal with this, or he wouldn't have been talking about it. And he was led by the Holy Spirit to write exactly what he was inspired to write. And he was saying, if you claim to be a Christian, I have a right to ask you to prove it by showing it by your lifestyle. I was thinking about the Baconator sandwich. Any of you had any one of those at Wendy's? It's not 930 calories. It's a double hamburger with cheese and 6 strips of bacon. I was looking at that and I said, man, that sure does look juicy, but I don't need it. And I didn't get one. But you think about it. Someone said, faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you know that they're there, and you sure can see the results. And when I heard that, I saw that, and I think about one of those Baconator sandwiches, I said, yeah, I don't need the results of that. So I passed them. So you can't see faith, but see, you can see the results of it. Now, real faith is something that you do. In the next couple of verses, James gives us an illustration that says real faith is something that you do. He is saying faith is active. Faith is not passive. It's a commitment. Now, I want to go to the Old Testament and give us an illustration, a couple of people, Abraham and Rahab, that James talked about as he revealed to us here. Abraham and Rahab, they were exact opposite extremes. When you look at their lives, Rahab is a Gentile. Abraham is Jewish. Abraham is a patriarch. Rahab is a prostitute. Abraham is somebody. Rahab is in considering that day, she was a nobody. Abraham is a major character of the Bible, and Rahab is what we would consider a minor character of the Bible. James uses these illustrations to say, it doesn't matter who you are as long as you've got something important, how God is going to use you. And they only had one thing in common. What was that? One thing in common, what did they have? Their faith in God. That's what they had in common. Their faith in God led them into action. And how do we know this? Look in verse 23. Let's go back to verse 23, which says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was called the friend of God. What does this verse say? What does it really mean? I think he behaved in a way of his belief came out visibly. See, you know the story. It's the ultimate test where God asked Abraham to give up his son Isaac. This had nothing to do with salvation. Nothing at all. Abraham was already a believer, wasn't he? 25 years earlier, God had said, "You're righteous." 25 years earlier to this incident, God said, "You're righteous." And he's not talking about being saved by his works. He's saying that this just shows me that you believe. Abraham believed God. It was immediately. God, his faith in God. He followed him. He took his son up. He did all those faith steps. He cut the wood. He built the altar and was ready to sacrifice his own son. And Abraham says to his son Isaac, while walking up the mountains, we will return. You see the faith? See, Abraham was putting into practice, he was putting into action what he believed about God. He had faith in God, that God would provide a sacrifice. And if you read the scriptures, it says that Abraham said, "We will return." That takes faith, doesn't it? That's stepping out on faith. Not, "I will." Sorry, Isaac. Road stops here for you. But he said, "We will return." He knew that God would provide somehow, even if it meant raising him from the dead. And the fact that God did not raise him from the dead, figuratively speaking, Abraham was able to sacrifice him, and God says, "I was just testing you to see what was most important in your life." How many of us will have that kind of faith? To step out on the unknown, the uncertainties. But if we love God and we trust God with our life, with all of our possessions, with all of our resources, everything about us, then we can have that kind of great faith where we could be called friends of God. We could be called righteous. And it was an action. It was an action. His works proved his faith, and he held nothing back from God. Now, in verse 25, it moves on to Rahab. James talks about Rahab in verse 25 here. The story is also told in Joshua chapter 2. It's a story how a prostitute helped a couple of spies when they were coming into Jericho, and Rahab ends up in the family line of Jesus. You imagine that. Here she was a Gentile. Abraham was a Jew. But yet she's in the lineage of Jesus. You see how God works? She risked her whole life to save the spies. See, our faith is not demonstrated by what we do. It's not determined by what we do. It's demonstrated by what we do. Over 40 years ago, George Bolden, he was what I would call a publicity stunner. And if you recall back over 40 years ago, this man predicted that he could walk across Niagara Falls. So the day came that, and everybody showed up, all the spectators, all the people wanted to see this great event, stretched a rope from one side to the other of Niagara Falls, and he stepped out by one foot, and then he stepped out with the other foot, and began to walk across that tightrope, and he stopped in the middle. And people was gasping, thinking that, you know, he could fall to his death. But they were cheering him on at the same time. Then he went on a cross, and at the other side, he turned around, and he said, "I'm going to walk back across." So he walked back across, and they was cheering, and they was encouraging George even more. Then he said, I'm going to walk back across again, but this time with a wheelbarrow. You probably know the story, but it's so fascinating. A man that would be willing to step out on faith, whatever you might want to call someone doing something like this, but he filled a wheelbarrow up with dirt. He went, he made it across, he turned around, and he came back. And he did this at least 9 times. And one of the tourists that was standing beside him, he said, you know what? I believe you could do this all day long. And George says, really? He dumped out the dirt and he said, get in. And there was no takers. Now we can say, oh, I think you can do this all day long, or I can do this all day long. But until we step into the barrel, we're not putting our faith to work, are we? And that's what James is saying here this morning. You trust God with your life, get in the barrel. Go across the tightrope. Go out on a limb. Do whatever God is calling you to do in His name. God is not going to call us to do anything. You know, we do silly stunts as we're growing up, don't we? We're all probably walking miracles. I am. The things we've done. But when it comes to God, you know, it's serious. Putting our faith really where it really counts, into His hands. And doing something for Him, just not thinking about it or watching someone else. But as a church, as a people, James is saying, you know, you say you have faith, then put it into works. Put it into works. I want to ask you a question today. What changes can I point to in my life? What can I do differently than I'm doing now that I can demonstrate more than just my faith, but I can prove it through my works? Is it my lifestyle any different as any other believer? How do I know for sure? And you can settle that in your mind. Maybe some of you, you know, during our revival, sometimes God reveals to us that maybe at some point in time we made a decision, but was it true faith? Or was it just going through the emotion of it? And sometimes that happens in salvation, but sometimes that happens in our life, in our calling. Once we make a decision for the Lord, we don't have to worry about the consequences or anything after that, because God will take care of the rest. If we're willing to be sincere in our decisions, in our heart, in following through with faith, proving our works that we really love the Lord. And we pray a lot, and we do a lot of things in His name. But how often do we think about our commitment and say, Lord, I have faith? You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of truth. The gospel, the Word of God, is truth all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So how are we building our faith? Is it just on what we say, what we believe, or what we hear, or is it by what we do? Something to think about this morning. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You this morning for the faith that You instill into our lives. From the very beginning of our decision to follow You as Lord and Savior, to make You a part of our life, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that through Your Holy Spirit, You reveal to us the things that we need to do to help us to grow closer to You, grow in our faith, grow and mature into things that helps us to prove our works. Real faith that works. That's what you're looking for in our lives. And I pray here this morning that anyone here, man, woman, child, young person, realizes over the years they either have grown in their faith and applied that to their faith, to the good works you've called us. Jesus said, you will be known by your works, by your faith, by your fruit. During this invitation, Lord, may the Holy Spirit just reveal to each one of us any changes we need to make to renew our commitment, renew our belief in you. Because there are so many distractions every day in our lives that wants to pull us away from our mindset of who you are, causes us to doubt, causes us to waver in our belief. But Lord, help us to realize here this morning that we have a responsibility. And it is an awesome and wonderful responsibility you've called us all to be. To be faithful, to be true, to be loving, to be caring. And all of these things we can put into action that will show our faith through our works. Lord, we praise you. And we thank you for any decision that you bring to our mind that we're willing to move forward and in your name, in your son's name. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 3.